Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
In the stillness, hear him speak. Listen. Oftentimes, when we're quiet and still in his peace, in his rest, in his presence, great revelation comes forth. And sometimes we have to battle the flesh to be still and know that he is. If you're not used to this, you can worship him quietly in your heart. Because he's imparting right now into people. He's unlocking and opening. I see him digging. I see him repositioning. He's uncovering. I see him wooing, whispering into your souls. Receive. Right about now, people's flesh start to engage again and get uncomfortable. Worship them. You're set up for victory. Thank you, Father. I'm hearing him say, taste and see. The Lord is good. He only has good. His nature is pure. He is wonderful. And tonight, or today, he's doing a little gardening in our hearts, in the soil. I see him pulling things out. Let it go. When he pulls out, he implants, establishes it with truth and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you're doing in here, in our hearts. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. I love that Jesus never leaves us where we're at. He's always wooing us and encouraging us to come a little closer. We can have it all in him. As I was praying for the retreat, he showed me a picture last night. And we were worshiping, and I saw this picture, and he reminded me. Sometimes he'll give me a flashback of something that I've experienced with him. And sometimes I just thank him, and sometimes I go, oh, you want me to talk to you about this? Oh, you want me to talk about it? Oh, there's somebody in your way has that issue. And as I've been praying, I've been seeing in the spirit roots that have been buried over, and they're roots of deception. And, you know, God cares so much about every one of us. He really does. We have to get in our heart how much he loves us. He loves us so much. He sent his son as a seed to take on everything, all the corruption of the world, the earth, and redeem us from that corruption. And some of us understand that and say, yay, amen. But what about the stuff that we're still carrying, that we don't even know that it's affecting our heart or our soil condition? And as I was praying, you know, he'll always go after the one. You know, so this message is not for everybody, but it is for a few. And I get the great honor of telling you, you've got a booger in your nose. That's a joke between me and the Lord. You know, nobody likes to walk around with something hanging out or, you know, your button undone or something. And since the beginning of time, I've been the one friend that will say, hey, your zipper's undone, or hey, you bat in a cave. Hey, you know, if you know me, you know the lingo, because I've probably said it to you, because I'll say it to anybody. It's in my DNA. It's who he created me to be. It's like one of the things that we do together. And on a spiritual matter, he'll show me conditions of hearts, and he'll give me dreams and parables, and it's not to confront, it's to help heal, you know. And as I was praying and seeing and seeking him, he has such concern. I can't even give it earthly words. He cares so much about your soul and that you walk in good health and prosper, that he has actually been digging. And not like with a sledgehammer. He's gently tilling. As we were worshiping, I would see angels ministering and soil being dug and moved away from old stuff that has strongholds or footholds in our lives. And it's affecting the structure of the house that we get to house, you know, caused by limitations and filters. And, you know, I often laugh. I don't laugh out loud, but I laugh with the Lord when he gives me an assignment. You know, it's like he had to prune me to the point where I trust him. When he says something, I know it's him. And I know he's got something good for whoever it's for. And it's not about me, and it's not about will I be embarrassed or will they be embarrassed. He does it in such a gentle way, in such a caring way, that I've never met anyone like him. There's no one else but him that can do this. We can go to every program. We can, you know, you can be in counseling, and you'll have some victory, and you'll have some growth. But he's the master of the tree that's inside of you. He's the master of the seed that he put in you. And he tends to it when we tend to him. And so the soil conditions are ripe today because we've been tending to him. And, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks ago I was in a meeting and it was kind of messy like this, you know, people everywhere. And I was just worshiping and praising and I saw a body part in the spirit. And it was a body part, I'm not going to say the word because you don't need to know that, but it was a body part. And I was like, the blood of Jesus, because I thought it was some foul spirit in the room. And I was like, the blood of Jesus. But he showed it to me like three times. And I was like, and he used a word I don't normally use. It was like the legal word. And I was like, that's so strange. But I just kept praising him and just worshiping him. And then I saw the face to the body part. And that face was around the corner in another room. So it would be like behind over there where you walk in the front door. I can't see that person in the natural. But the Lord showed me that person's face. And what had happened was she had some physical issues and needed healing. And so I was like, Lord, this is not a public word. I'm not sharing this word in public. And he's like, I'm not asking you to. I'm like, okay, you set it up. If you want me to deliver that word, I'll deliver it. But you set it up. After the service, I'm working the CD table, and he says the word again. And the person was just getting ready to leave. And I couldn't cut through this, like it was like this. I couldn't cut through, so I had to go around a room and down a hallway to get her. And as she was walking out the door, she was talking to two of her friends. And I said to her, I've got a word from the Lord. I'm not going to give it to you in public because I'm not going to. So come with me. Do you want this word? And she says, yes. I said, first of all, I want to tell you something. This word is from the Lord because I don't even use this word, okay? And I would never share this word. In fact, I think I've only spoke it once. And she's like, okay. And she's like, I can't believe you called me out. And so I gave her the word and I said, the Lord's healing that. And she was like, wah! You know. And here's the story behind it. Her marriage was suffering and she was contemplating divorce because of an issue. And God spoke to her on that day and she came in hiding. She did not want a word. She wanted to hide. She came because she was invited by friends and hid around the corner so that she would be not seen. God cares so much about every heart. He'll do whatever he can to save that sheep, that little baby sheep. And so oftentimes he'll use me in these weird things. And I think I said that word 10 times that day, and I never said it ever. You know, it's like not a word I use. And so I laughed to the Lord, and I'm like, why that word? He said, that's her word. That's her language. She knew that word, and she was foreign too. So, you know, I could have gave her some white slang, and that would have not worked, you know, because that would have been watered down. And see, God's tired of watered down words. When he speaks by the Spirit, we have to hear. And if we don't know it, we test, and we hold, and we travail over this word with him until we have it in due season. And he gave me some words last night, but they weren't in due season. He was still preparing our hearts. And as I was praying, I had this like burning in my belly. And, you know, sometimes we eat of the Lord and it's not pleasant. But it's not our choice. We eat what he gives us. And so I would love to give you a flowery word right now, but I've got a word that's going to help people get free today. I've got a word that's going to bring closure to some brokenness from your old dead life. See, the enemy's been holding you back in captivity. Now, this is not for everyone, but it's for some. And I was like, Lord, how do I even go about, you know, opening this word up? And he didn't say a word, so I didn't push. And I waited and waited. And he reminded me last night of Saul and Paul. You know, Saul, he lived a rough life. Can anybody relate to that life? Yeah. You know, before we knew Jesus, you know, before we came into relationship, before we said yes, yes, I want to be redeemed from this cursed earth curse system. I want to know you. Teach me your ways. Before we even knew there was a glimmer of hope, we lived in darkness. And so we did things that did not glorify anybody. And that's what God wants to deal with today. Now, I know there's women in here who have done some things in their past that, you know, and the Lord was saying, issues of the heart. I want to open up these hidden issues. And some of them are so old that you don't even know that they're affecting you. And I love that He's the only one that has the ability to come in and rescue, come in and heal, come in and deliver, not with condemnation, but with His loving hand as a good father and an expert surgeon. So last night when I was worshiping, I was reminded of a meeting I was in. It was like a flash. And it was not at a service of ours. We actually were at some conference. And, you know, when I first got saved, I still lived like a sinner because I didn't know Jesus. That may sound strange, but I said the sinner's prayer for one reason, and that was because I didn't want to go to hell, because I had fear. I was afraid of hell. I was like, where do you go? How's that work? Yeah, I'm scared. I'll take that card. Totally not scripture. Totally not the way of God and His redemption for us. So I was kind of like a limping, you know, dwarfed person who has it all but has no clue that I have it all. And I'm still growing in that. But what I'm saying is I still did things by the flesh that were not good things. And some of us did the same thing. And so, you know, if you are street smart, there's this thing called code of honor. You never rat on anybody. And I've had that in me forever. You know, and I use it to glorify the kingdom now. You know, He'll tell me secrets, and I keep them secrets. You know, I don't go tell somebody because that's not what Jesus wants. And so, He always trusted me, but I never trusted Him. So there was this backward system working. And what I mean by that is I didn't reverence the Lord as Lord. I thought, okay, He's, you know, a step ahead of the Godfather, you know. And, you know, my doctrine was so messed up, guys. You know, if I could pay Him off, I would. You can't because His Son purchased us. You know, my thinking was so backwards. But He was so kind in every act or thought or way where I strayed from His will, He's always wooing, even when we can't hear. He's always encouraging. And sometimes we get calloused over and don't even know or tricked or whatever. But I'm just going to share just something brief that I really feel is going to help some people in here because Jesus showed it to me. And so I was at this conference, and we were there for something completely different, but isn't that how it always works? You go because you got an agenda, or you think you're going to hear this study, and the next thing you know, you're having an encounter with the Lord. He opens up something, and you get free. And that's what happened. I remember the speaker was some man, and we had a face east, west, north, south, and all that, and good luck with that on me because I can't tell you the difference. But I remember standing there, and we were doing shouts of proclamation about something. I don't even know. But I got caught up in the Spirit. And I had this flash. And I saw Jesus actually touch my back. And I saw grief leave. I saw fear go. And I was like, you know, I didn't think I was fearful. But I was. And what I saw was the hook attached to that. And the hook went back to my high school days. And, you know, before I knew better, I didn't even know, you know, about life and death. And, you know, I just figured it is what it is and good luck. And, you know, so I actually drove people, some of my close friends, to abortion clinics. Now, when we hear this, we think, oh, abortion clinics, that dirty word. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is a stealer, a liar, and a thief. It's not God. And I know some women in here have had issues who have had abortions or maybe partook in helping make a decision with that. And God is actually here today to clear that and clean that. And he wants me to remind you of a few things. First, when that hook left me, I was always second-guessing. You know, I was always like, are they mad at me? What's up? You know, and it was hooked to that seed where I allowed the enemy entrance. Now, did I know that at that time? No. And I remember the day when I found out that you should not kill, and that God's the creator of life. I remember that day praying for forgiveness, and I was forgiven. I know that. So I didn't have like a pressure on me. But what happened was, I started praying for the people that, for their souls, because I don't want anybody tormented. And so I started praying for the souls of the people that I knew. You know, maybe I helped drive, maybe I, you know, cried on their shoulder, maybe we drank a beer afterwards. You know, my lifestyle goes, you know, I was not straight and narrow in my youth. And so I started praying for the hearts of the people. And I did that for a long season. And then, years later, that's when that hook came out. Why that day? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I saw in here this root of shame. I saw it last night, and as I was praying, he said it was hooked into abortion. I said, Lord, that's a subject I don't want to speak on. And, you know, are you sure you want to go there? And so I didn't, because I want to be led completely by him. And so there's no judgment in here. I want to talk to you about Saul, who became Paul. You know, Saul was a murderer, and he, you know, if we read the scriptures, we know he was a tough man, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know who he was persecuting. You know, he knew by religion, and he knew by theology, but he didn't know him. And when he had the encounter with him, his whole life changed. His whole life changed, and he didn't go run out and preach. He went away with the Lord. He sought. You know, he's like, what? You know, and there was a process of working things out, and God used him. We are under a new covenant, and there's some of us in here who have done stuff. You know, I'm not going to say what it is, because God knows, you know what's in your heart, you know your past. But today is the day of deliverance. Today's the day that the root of shame is being removed gently out of your heart. You know, if you've asked for forgiveness, you are forgiven. Now, the enemy is the one who continues to try to keep you in the kingdom of darkness in this area. But where the blood of Christ has been shed, it cleanses all unrighteousness. We never earn it. Just like salvation, we can't earn it. It's the same thing with the acts of the flesh. The blood of Jesus is so strong and so powerful, it's full of life. It brings life to the dead. And as I was worshiping, I saw the cross. The cross is a powerful, powerful statement of Jesus. You know, we know Isaiah, and we know what Jesus did for us. But I want to talk about the exchange, the great exchange. And Holly has one of the best teachings I've ever heard on this, on that CD table, which was birthed in heaven and then released into the earth. And so if you're struggling with the great exchange, what's mine, what's his, what, how does this all work, that is a foundational meal that you can eat and eat and grow and grow and walk out your salvation, walk out your victory, because it's been provided. And so as I was reminded of everything that Jesus purchased, and I don't know it all because I like it by revelation. I know what the word says, but I like when it becomes alive in my heart and my soul, because it cleanses my soul, it heals my soul, and it grows inside of me and overtakes me. So then when the enemy says, well, remember when 1972, when, no, it's under the blood. I asked for forgiveness and it's forgiven. And so I see him uprooting. You know, we've made decisions in our past, when we lived in the darkness. And maybe you've made some decisions in your past where you knew Jesus, but you just, you know, you felt a pressure or just deception. God's blood is alive, and it'll cleanse you today. You can apply that into your heart, into your situation, but you have to ask for forgiveness. And so there's areas, you know, I know there's people in here who judge. There's judgers in here. And you know, when I was worshiping, I saw, you know, people with the pickets around the clinics, and I saw, you know, judgment on them. And you know, God is the master. He's the creator. And we need to be led by the Spirit and not our flesh and what we think is right. And I'm not for abortion. I want you to understand that. I'm not for abortion. I'm for the kingdom of God and setting the captives free. And that's what he's doing right now. He's setting you free. As I'm speaking, I am watching the angels pulling off these sucklers. They're little, like, they're wrapped around. They're like viney things wrapped around roots. And I see them gently being removed and softened so that you have an opportunity to make the choice today and never walk in bondage again in that area of your life. He's opening up. He's making a straight path for you. He's making straight paths. We can't do it without him. And sometimes we hide under the shame of our old life. Listen, you've been redeemed. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Choose life. So guilt, go in the name of Jesus. As I spoke that, I just saw out. You know, by the power of the Spirit, it's done. It's done. Now the enemy, he'll try and say, he'll push on you. Are you sure it's done? Get out of here. You have no hold on me anymore. Some of you need to start speaking. Some of you have to take hold of your words and release them. And what I mean by that is the enemy is pushing on you, kind of like a big bully pushing in a playground. Pushing, you're never going to get it. You've always been a mess up. Your situation's never going to change. You need to get a hold of who you are by the blood of the Lamb, by what has been purchased for you by his blood, his shed blood, and say, behold. Watch that. Just that word, behold, by the Spirit will knock a demon down. See, God's calling for right order. He's calling for, you know how you go to an amusement park and maybe you see those funny mirrors and it's all distorted? Some of you are looking through distorted mirrors, through trickery, through deception. Right now, I command all that stuff to go in the name of Jesus. I release truth, sound mind. I'm watching. Some are resisting right now. Ask the Lord to overtake you with his goodness. Yield. See, because of what happened at the cross, you know, the enemy couldn't hold him down. The enemy couldn't hold him down. Now you are born again because you said yes to Jesus. So you have that same resurrection power that caused Jesus to come out of the grave. That's life-giving. And if you think about that, remember the earth, I mean, the curtain was torn, the rocks, you know, cracked, people came out of graves. Get a perspective of who you are on the inside and start to manifest through your words and watch what happens. You have all authority. It's been given to you. Jesus stripped the enemy clean, stripped him, and told us to rule and reign, occupy till he comes back. We need to start occupying our own houses. Some of us are busy helping our friends. Let's tend to our own gardens. Let the master gardener do a little pruning. I feel like we're primed. We're positioned. I'm hanging because he's hanging, so I'm not going any faster. You know, some of you have been in a season, a trial, and it seems like it's been long. In those seasons, there's a few things that happen. One is, usually, well, I'll just say this, always the answer is in Him, but usually we're looking to outside sources for our answer, whether it be a self-help book or, you know, something quick. He's the source of truth. He's the creator of all. He created you. He created the universe. Now, He didn't create your circumstance. That was caused by free will. But you have the authority to speak life into the situations. And one, if you're in a trial and it seems to be going on a long time, what are we doing today? What are we working on today? And oftentimes it's not the trial. It's the heart. He wants us to get stuff from Him so that we can release the breakthrough by our words. Now, I've watched over the last year, I don't track time, I don't really keep track of it, but I've watched over the last year a pattern, and this has probably been going on longer, but I feel like there's this openness in this new season that some of you are sensing that we're in, some of you are hearing about it, some of you are experiencing it. But in the old season, there was this pressing going down. And it was, you know, I like to say it was like God versus our flesh. Now, you probably expected me to say God versus the enemy, but the enemy's been defeated. And so there's this pressure going on so that we deal with the issues of our heart, our thinking. And see, because we're in a place where it's prime to say, Lord, help. What are we doing? What's the answer to the situation? See, He's relying on us to rely on Him. But He will not override our will. So if we don't ask or seek Him, we're going to stay in this situation. Now, a prime example is Lori, her testimony today. She had a hidden area in her heart. She knew about it. It was hidden to the rest. And she yielded that to the Lord. She made the exchange with her words, and breakthrough was there instantly. Instantly. That's how the kingdom of God operates. There's always breakthrough, but we have to look for it and position ourselves for it. There's always advancement. He's always calling us, I want to say nearer to Him, but deeper into Him. And some of us have become comfortable. I like to say fat, happy Christians. You know, we get comfortable because we do have a bed. We do have food. We do know Him. We do love Him. But I'm telling you, the season that we're in, He's preparing us for the greatness in Him manifesting through the body of Christ. And He's calling us. He's always called us, but there's this, I see it like a belt in the Spirit. It's being tightened. You know, make straight paths. When we were worshiping today, I had to ask Him to strengthen my frame. I experienced something wonderful in Him, something new, something powerful, and I was like, strengthen my frame. You know, because we can't handle it in the flesh. It's a work of the Spirit. And He, you know, He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's good news. No matter what your situation is, He's coming back. But He's looking for a bride that knows Him. Not the bridesmaid. Not the one who's cleaning the floors. He's looking for someone who knows Him. And it's not hard. It's not hard. It's so wonderful because He gave us His Holy Spirit who leads and guides us in all truth. So if we're off a little, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, I'm stuck. He'll speak to us through the inner witness, the inner voice, or through the Word, and He'll help us. But most of us, you know, we're so self-centered and full of pride, and it's all about us. Ooh, I just see the Holy Ghost slapping in here right now. But He's doing it to bring us out of deception and the settling that goes on in church. We're not to compare ourselves among others, and it's easy to do that. But that's a work of the flesh, and the work of the flesh reaps corruption. See, we're going to see stuff burn up. We're going to see stuff around us burn up. We're going to see ones we thought were so on fire for God because they got it down, their emotions and their expressions, and maybe they are being used by God. But He's calling a centering into Him with no compromise. Compromise is being exposed, and it's being exposed on all ends, the enemy and God. Now, people are going to blame God, and they're going to blame the enemy, but here's the thing. The compromise is in our own hearts. We have to look at our hearts and say, Lord, what are we doing today? And then if you stray off, oh, Lord, here I am again. I forgot. I'm trying to learn this relationship with You. Would You teach me? And when you speak those words like a child, He'll teach you like a daddy. And some of us had some bad upbringings. You know, we're like, you know, it wasn't kind. It wasn't good. I'm challenging you to open the Word of God and see what the Word says. See what the Word says. Because the Word is the final. It's the end. It's the final. It's a living Word. It'll never die. But it is the final Word. You can't argue with the Word of God. And so some of us have filters like, well, I've been abused. I've had this. You know what? The cross. Jesus was abused. Jesus, we have to get the focus, the kingdom focus. We have to get it off ourselves. Because when we stay focused on ourselves, now I'm not saying don't work on yourself, but I'm saying, what's the exchange? You know, He bore our sickness. Do you need healing? Go to the cross. Pick up His healing. He bore our grief. Do you have sorrow? See, the choice is you can live in your situation or your circumstance or your season, or you can find the Word of God, which is full of life and power, resurrection power, which He put inside of you, and when you apply it, resurrection comes. Because it's a seed. And we know that when you sow seed, we don't know how, but it does grow. And God is challenging us to remove the barricades of our emotions, our hearts. See, you know, oftentimes we pray for people and we'll see barricade, barricade, like brick, brick, brick. And that's because they're wounded in their heart. Jesus had wounding in His heart. Shame. Some of you are struggling. We're not finished with this. Some of you are still struggling with shame from your past. There's a place at the cross where you can exchange. You can apply your shame. Take it. Give it to Jesus. Your burdens, your struggles, give it to the King of Kings and watch Him resurrect. His shame, the man hung on the cross naked. That's shame right there. I mean, whoa. Mocked. Some of you have been mocked, ridiculed in your households. Don't stay in that. Don't stay in that prison. Come out. Go to the cross. An exchange. Make the great exchange. There's a place in the Spirit. And you don't even have to see it in the Spirit. You can just believe it. By the Word of God. By Isaiah. What it talks about. And you can take on everything He purchased when He redeemed us from the curse and the deception. Back from the garden, when the devil stole it from Adam and Eve through deception. He is calling us deeper, and He's prepared until this isn't something you have to walk out. You know, for weeks, months, there's a season of ripeness in this room right now. You're set up for victory. You're set up for victory. Call on the victor. Call on the king. Invoke the blessings. By faith, not by sight, by faith, I choose to believe that what Jesus did at that cross was for me. Not just my salvation, but the full package. Salvation is more than just being saved. It's the fullness. It's every good thing. It's full redemption. So I had a dream last night. I asked the Lord for a dream on what I saw when I was praying about the roots in people's hearts and stuff. And I had this dream, and I actually saw Jesus ministering in this dream. And I'm not going to go into the great details, but because I think it's parable. But what in the dream, I saw this little baby abused. And the baby had a dirty diaper. And when they found out the baby was, when the parents found out the baby was abused, they were so angry at the abuser, they picked up the baby and realized this baby's in a filthy diaper. And, they didn't know what to do. And they ran to Jesus. And I saw him gently. I saw him hold that baby so tight, full of the dirty diaper, and the baby was in pain. And I saw him gently take the diaper off, clean the poop out, and I saw him get this special cream, healing cream, and he gently applied it over the baby. And the baby was healed. Now, this could go in many directions. It could be for the church, the large church. It could be for people in this room. And as I was praying, I feel like there's some of us who went through some abuse, and you're like, where was God in all this? If God's good, why did he allow this to happen? And see, God's so good, he's bringing it up right now because he wants to heal your heart from the past traumas. And I see him waiting in hopes of an invitation. See, he will not override our free will. You know, when we were worshiping, when I was downstairs worshiping before the meeting, I was just loving on him. And he kept saying, I'm so glad they came. I'm so glad they came. And I'm like, I'm so glad you're here. You know, but what he was saying is, he wants to heal us. And then in the same time, I'm seeing these little sheep off to the side, you know, the wounded ones, trying to hold it together with their hair on nice and their clothes, you know, in good condition. But inside, they got a dirty diaper and they need some healing. And I saw the Lord just waiting. And so there's an open invitation. If you need healing from past trauma, now I know God uses many ways to heal, and many ways work on different ways with people, but I really feel if you have an area or an issue where there's been some trauma, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, control, manipulation, I feel like there's a window of healing for the Lord to minister to your souls. And so I just feel like we need to close our eyes, stop looking at me, and invite Jesus into that trauma. Give him permission to show you. Some of you are like, I don't want to go back. That hurt. I'm not going back. Lord, I didn't sign up for this. And I hear him saying, will you trust me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I'm here to heal your heart. And your body. I heard him say, and your body.
I saw a large root of someone that was terribly, terribly abused and hurt. But the root was anger at God. And God loves you, and but he wants to deliver you from that anger, and he will actually help you understand what happened and even why it happened. He wants to deliver you from being hurt by God or angry or disappointed in God.
I hear him saying there were inner vows made as a result of that. I'm never going to trust you, Lord. How could this happen? Just quietly repent and break those words. And invite his trust in to heal you. Even if you don't understand that, oftentimes works of the Spirit don't make sense in the natural. It's a higher realm. Yeah.
And I come by this honest because there was a few years where I was really mad at God. And that's not something you announce to the church, is it? Sometimes it may not be anger, but sometimes we can feel hurt, like what, you know? And we don't understand, and we're hurt or wounded or upset or even angry. And so this may not be you, that's okay, but I'm going to have everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I've ever held anything against you in my heart, even the slightest thing. If I have not trusted you because of something that happened, or if I've felt hurt by God, or angry at God, I'm sorry. I know it's not really true. I ask you to remove that from me. And help me, Lord, to understand what you're trying to show me. I know your heart is to heal me. And I want to let you heal me by trusting you. I trust you with my life. In Jesus' name.
I actually just saw, when we finished that proclamation, I actually saw healing released into female organs. And I'm reminded of that scripture, bitterness dries the bones, and I feel like there's been a reversal by that proclamation. Just got a picture of us on the highway, and we're all in our cars, which are houses of the Lord, and there's like a little bit of congestion right now, but I saw people taking the ramps off, and they're going to go park and hang with the Lord on break for some much needed rest and receiving from him. I'm hearing tears of joy. Thank you, Father.
I heard someone's heart, and they were saying they never trusted you. I've never been able to trust anybody in my whole life because there was never anyone that I've understood to be trustworthy. I've never known how to trust you, but I want to. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing someone's heart. And so I'm saying, Father, teach us a deep, abiding trust as only you can. In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name. I think we should say that. Jesus, teach us A deep abiding trust.
A deep abiding trust.
As only you can.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I'm hearing someone's heart. And they're saying, I didn't really know. I didn't really understand. I didn't really know you. I didn't really understand who you were. I'm so sorry. I've loved you, but it's always been with this reservation. I've always held part of my heart back because I didn't really know you for who you really were. I didn't know how truly good you are. I'm so sorry. And I'm seeing God just pour in. It's like gateways are opening for God to pour in. Some of you have been hungry and thirsty and wanting more, but not understanding why you couldn't seem to get the breakthrough. But I'm seeing gates opening in hearts and in souls. I'm seeing that doors are open, and people who were always afraid to step through will be able to step through. Like you've had a door open. There's someone in here, I'm not going to point you out, but you've had a door open before you for years, but you've been like, why would I step through? Thank you. Why would I step through that door? Every time I step through a door, I've gotten clobbered. That's how you think. But I saw you for the first time seeing Jesus on the other side of the door and saying, I know, I get it now. He only has good for me. And for me to stay on the other side of the door, for me to refuse to go in, means I won't be able to receive the good that he does have. And I saw you just throw everything to the ground and say, I'm going in. I'm going in with Jesus. I'm going in. I'm not going to hold back anymore. I'm not going to stay in the safe zone or what I thought was the safe zone. I'm throwing that away. I'm throwing all that junk away. In Jesus' name. I release you in the name of Jesus. From fear, I'm seeing fear that has gripped. It's almost like a fist that has gripped the base of the heart. This isn't everybody, but I saw that fear has, you've wanted to do more in God. You've wanted to do more in life, but there's always been this fear, and you don't even know where it came from. And this is, again, this isn't everybody, but it's been a gripping fear that sometimes gets a hold of you and keeps you from moving forward or backwards. It's like it causes you to just be petrified where you stand. And you don't even know how it came in, but I saw it came in when you were little. And I think it was pre-memory. You know, when we're little, there's a certain age before which we just don't have, you know, we don't remember what happened. And this person I'm talking to, something happened to you pre-memory, but it was enough to allow a spirit of fear to come in. God is releasing you from fear today. He's releasing you from that fear. Only God can pull this off, but God is undoing what was done. He's reversing the damage that happened to your soul. He's reversing certain things in people in here. You had certain things done to your bodies that was a violation. It was a violation. Jesus is reversing the damage off your soul, off your memory bank, off your cell memory, off your thoughts. Even off your subconscious or unconscious, the deepest part of you, he's removing it. He is making it as though it did not happen. He's not just, I don't know how to say it, but he's removing the damage is what he's doing. I hear him say, he is saying, you are released from that. You are released. You are released. Is Sharon in here? Okay, Sharon, I just hear the Lord saying to you, Sharon, I am releasing you. I am releasing you. You're going to move forward like never before. I saw you, Sharon, just break out. It was like you had had one final jacket on, and you just tore this jacket off, and you just went for it. And I saw you just so free. You were just blazing, and you were moving fast in God. And there was an excitement, and there was a joy, and there was a newness of life and a freedom. And the Lord says, you're going to be able to love people. You're going to be able to love people with God's love. Like, you're going to be able to love people just in a way that we will come and say, how do you do that? You know, we will want to love people the way you love people. God's giving you that. I see the love of God just exploding in you. I saw someone, it was like you were pulling this old black hood off. It had been on for years. You'd had this black hood over your head. And I saw you reach up and pull it off and say, I'm not wearing that thing anymore. It's kept me blind. It's kept me in darkness. It is not of God. I'm not wearing that thing anymore. I'm not taking that accusation. It's an accusation from the enemy, and you've worn it as though it was your clothes. It's an accusation. I could see the enemy pointing his finger for years, pointing his finger at you and saying, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. You know what? You're not. Jesus has washed it away. It's a lying hood. That thing's a lying thing. But you thought you believed him because of what happened in your life. You believed him. And so I saw you peeling that off and say, I'm not wearing that thing anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm not believing that anymore. Haven't you heard? I'm a new creation. Haven't you heard? I'm a new creation. Haven't you heard? I'm a new creation. And I don't have to walk in that old garment anymore that's defiled. I don't have to carry that. It's not mine. It's not mine anymore. Jesus has redeemed me. He has separated me from that, and I refuse to carry it. I saw clarity of vision coming. I saw even during worship, I saw eyes growing very large. And when you see very large eyes in the spirit or in a dream, it means prophetic. It means someone that's their perception is growing greatly. And I'm seeing that God is releasing increased vision. You know, both seeing in the spirit, but also perceiving in the spirit. There's an increase in perception in the spirit. I saw someone, you were not, prior in your life, you were not spiritually perceptive. You wanted to be, and you loved the Lord with all your heart. But I saw this, it was as though you turned, and you were able to, even the slightest breeze, the wind of the Spirit, you were able to go, wait, what's that? What is that? You were able to tune in that something was going on. Well, I might as well tell you, it's Laurel. Laurel, I saw you. And I saw this perception increase in the realm of the spirit where you were able to hear the breezes of God go. Holy. 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 Jan, I saw an increase for you of the heavenlies. I saw like a pillar coming down on you. It was like up and down. I saw an increase in perception. In the spirit, I saw that as you study, I saw the spirit of wisdom and revelation increasing in you. And what that does is it greatly speeds up. You know, it's like you'll clap your eyes on a scripture and you just know. It's like a revelation just attends. And I'm seeing a great increase in that realm. I saw someone that has had a barrier across the, just below your neck. It's been like a bar, and it I don't know exactly what it is, but I saw that it had been like a metal bar that was a barrier. It stopped you from going forward, and every time you'd try to go forward in God, it was like something was stopping you, and you couldn't figure out what it was, and I saw Jesus break that bar off, and he said, you're going to go forth, and you're never looking back. You're going to go forth, and you're never looking back. There's someone here, you've had physical... like physical heart, I want to make sure I get this word exactly right. It's heartache, heartache. You've carried something too long. You've carried a burden in the heart too long. And you've carried it personally, like you took it on as a heartache. And I saw the Lord just gently pull that right off and say, you can do more about that situation without that heartache. You can actually be more effective without carrying it. He's releasing you from the ache of it. Lori said she saw grief go. I'm seeing remnants of that. I'm seeing leftovers of grief, grieving, sorrow. The Bible says sorrow and sighing will flee away, and I'm seeing it just go, 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 go. There's someone, I got this earlier and I'm hearing it again, there's someone that you've always, when you spend your time with God, you're always apologizing for who you are. It's not the confession of sin. It's like you feel badly about who you think you are and you're apologizing to him as though you're not enough. And he says two things to you. I love you and stop it. I love you and stop that. Stop assessing yourself incorrectly. I know exactly who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I made you. And I'm not sorry about it, so don't you be. And don't talk badly about someone that I made and someone that I love. Stop. Just stop tearing yourself down. I don't like that. I made you and I'm proud of you. So shut up. It is okay to like yourself. That's not pride. It is okay to like what God has done in you. It is okay to know who you are in him. That's not pride. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay? There's a difference. And some of us have torn ourselves down for so long, and our words have caused damage to our own soul. Your soul is listening. And when you tear yourself down, even when you're with God, your soul goes, oh, yeah, you're right, I am a bum. Oh, never really go, oh, God doesn't want me. You're virtually cursing yourself when you do that. I command every spirit of self-hatred to go. I break every work of self-loathing. There's a form. This is interesting. You know what a cutter is? A cutter is a person who cuts themselves. But there's a spiritual parallel of it where you cut yourself with your words. And some of you are cutters. You haven't physically taken a razor, but you have cut yourself with words because somehow you feel like you deserve it or it'll make you feel better. And God says, no more. No more, no more, no more, no more. You're mine. You belong to me. I don't make junk. And I'm not sorry that I made you. I never have been. And I want to heal you of all the cuts and bruises. Some were given to you by other people, but some were given to you by you. I want you to know how I feel about you, and I want you to begin to speak how I feel about you. Look in the Word and find out what I've said about you. Do you know that I brag about you to the enemy? Yes, I do. Do you know that the Bible says that God wants to show his wisdom to principalities and powers through the church? He wants to take us and say, look at that, devil. Look at that, look at that. Look at that one right there. She loves me. I don't know what this means, but I saw something come flying out of someone's throat. It is something that has gripped you, like it has tried to stop you from speaking truth. It has tried to stop you from worship. It has tried to stop you from speaking and singing. And I saw it come like out of there. See, the enemy, he's afraid of your freedom. Because once you get free, he can't get you. I'm seeing a physical healing happen right now. I'm asking if it's okay to say the person's name. I believe it's okay. Lois, I don't know what your situation is, but I believe God is working a healing in your body. I see the healing power of Jesus Christ flowing through your physical body, making whole, making whole, making whole, making whole, renewing strength, renewing strength, renewing strength, renewing vision. He says, I'm not done yet. I'm doing more, and I'm not done yet after that, and I'm doing more. But as your day, so will your strength be. As I call you to do, I will give you the strength and the energy and even the vision and the joy to do it, the power to do it. I am strengthening, I am healing, and I see him broadening a path. I don't know what that means, but making a path wider, making a way, a wonderful way for you to do what you were called to do, what you have. You have been steadfast, you have been faithful, and you've walked in truth and faithfulness. You've raised people up, and you've fought for the body of Christ, and you've done mighty works. But I see him making a very broad place for you. And I'm not 100% sure of this, but it seems like a type of platform. It seems like a place where you will do the work of God. I don't know what this means, but he said, for too long you've done it from a corner. You've done it like in a corner. But that it's too long. It's been too long, and I see him just just opening, and that's not the right word. It's almost like he's sweeping stuff out of the way, just moving stuff, moving walls out of the way, moving, just pushing stuff out of the way to accomplish, to finish what he started. There's something in you that he started years ago, and it's been being perfected, being seasoned, being aged and cured in a perfect way. And I'm seeing that we're just now starting to get to the point where we're going to see it flow in greater ways than before, just greater, greater ways. I'm seeing that. I'm hearing that old saying they used to say, "We will serve no wine before it's time." And I'm sensing that it's like I'm seeing the wine taster, and he's saying, "It's time. This is it. This is what we've been working towards. This is it." And I feel like that is going to come flowing even in this next year. You're going to start to see new wine flowing that has been seasoned and aged to absolute perfection. You've come through a lot of stuff for it to get there, but I feel like it's there. And I feel like maybe there have been moments, I'm not sure of this, but it feels like moments where you thought, well, now that I'm ready, I'm kind of tired, you know. But I saw him really imparting to you his strength. So that it won't even seem hard. It won't even seem like a job, you know. It won't even seem hard. God is healing someone's thoughts. Someone that you have cyclical thoughts. That means thoughts that go in a cycle. It's like I see these thoughts that are not of God, and they kind of take over, you know. And it's like buzzing, you know. It looks like an atom. You ever see an atom? They enlarge it, and it's like buzzing, buzzing. And I saw God just so gently touch the side of your head, and he said, "Peace, be still." And I heard racing thoughts. He's bringing his pace to those thoughts. He's bringing understanding where there's been big question marks. I saw big question marks in somebody's head, and he's bringing understanding and enlightenment. He's helping you to see like you've never seen before. I saw someone seeing a picture of a book. The book is open, and there's a lamp over this book. And I saw this person, you were reading something and pondering it. And I saw all of a sudden, like almost like, I didn't see lightning, but it was almost like you got struck by lightning because you moved so fast. You jumped, and you went on the errand of God. And I feel like you're going to see that very soon. And you're a person that's had your nose in the books for a long time. Mm-hmm. You're a person that spends a lot of time in the books. And I saw this jolt hit you, and you were out of here. You were off on the works of God. There's someone here, and you recently, this doesn't have anything to do with our meeting, or I don't think you were at our meeting, but you recently, you were really low on money. But you sowed $50, and it was really, for you, it was like a huge thing. And you were like, this is like my last. This is the last thing I've got, and it makes no sense for me to do this. But I'm doing this, Lord, because I love you, and I saw you put it in. And I saw Jesus watching. Remember, and he watched. He stood in the temple, remember, and he watched them give their offering. He was watching. He watched what everybody gave, and then he said that this older lady, she had given more than all the others because she gave her living. Like she gave everything she had. And I heard Jesus comment on that offering, whoever you are, wasn't at our meeting. I heard him in heaven say, look at what that one did. And I heard him call for the finances. He could not just finance, he called for whatever you need to come forth. So if you're still in fear and you're worried, I want you to know Jesus is going to take care of you. Because what you did in faith. What you did out of love for the Savior. And he said, he will make it good. It's like he reminded me in the old days, the gamblers, they would have a marker. And it was a marker, an IOU. And, you know, when you gave somebody your marker, that was it. You were good for it. And I saw this marker and had Jesus' name on it. Like he's saying, I'm good for it. Because you did that in faith. I will cover your need. I will meet your need. Okay. The only reason I took the mic was Lori didn't want to take it back. How about now? How about now? How about now? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you're doing in us. We thank you for releasing us. Thank you that by the time we leave here tomorrow, I believe we'll have some real changes, some real newness of life, Father. So we thank you for it. We ask you to prepare us even for tonight. Prepare me in every way that I will be able to do everything I'm supposed to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glory. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Lori Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.